So this message is part three. We're just going to be doing different messages on prayer and stories about prayer. And basically the way this came about was, I guess you call it a holy discontent, because I was so tired of hearing about how things happened in the old days. And I don't want it to be as a story told of the old days. I want to see God in action today. I don't believe, and I agree with you, Sister Evelyn, that the Bible has not changed. God has not changed. There's no shadow of turning in Him. I believe all the power He had then, He has now, and He will do these things if we learn to call on Him. And so my whole point in all of this is, first of all, I told you I was going to ask this question a lot. Why do we seek the Lord? He is worthy to be sought. I'm going to keep asking that question because He is worthy to be sought. And so why we're going to seek the Lord for different things. We're going to set aside time for seeking the Lord. And the first Sunday in, which is coming up here very soon, April 7th, that is going to be our first true, what I call the true prayer meeting that we're putting together. I don't know what it's going to look like exactly. I've got something in my mind, but we're going to see what happens. I pray you come. I pray that you be enthused about it. I pray that you might even consider fasting for the prayer meeting. Fasting for whatever we're going to pray for. And we're going to pray for several things, but we're going to focus. We're going to pray for the lost, for example. We're going to pray for the schools that you might have mentioned here. We're going to pray for different things, our nation perhaps. But we're going to limit our topics for that particular night and pray for just those things. Because the next prayer meeting, we're going to add additional things. And we're going to see, we're going to pray for healing. We're going to pray for all sorts of things. God is capable of doing anything and everything. And so remember that April 7th, I believe it's the first Sunday in April. And then after that, at least to start with, it'll be the first Sunday of every month, we'll have a prayer meeting. Now, just so that you know, we're going to set ground rules next week. It's not a marathon, not to see who can pray the longest. It has nothing to do with that. And if at some point in the time comes and you got to leave, you got to leave. You know, it's not something that's written in stone. It's just an open altar. Let's say it that way. People used to come to the temple. They would come, they would go. They would come, they would go. There were people coming to the temple at all hours of the day. Now, they had set aside time for prayer. Usually it was 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the day. But it happened all through the day. And Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." And so I want to make prayer, one, a priority. Two, I want to make it a group activity. If you read the book of Acts, and you're going to also see here in just a moment, people prayed in groups. They prayed out loud. Now, not everybody's comfortable with praying out loud, but it's good to pray out loud so that you can hear other people pray and you can learn. And then if you make it a public or group activity, then you can take that, what you learn, and go home and learn to pray at home in such a way that it'll build up your private prayer life. Do you see where I'm going with this? So one, we make it a priority because I feel like people don't pray or don't want to pray. Jesus Himself told His disciples, He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Flesh is weak. And, you know, we all get tired. And sometimes, I hate to tell this on myself, but I got up to pray. And usually my prayer times are not early in the morning, but late at night. And I was there praying and didn't realize it, but I had fallen asleep sitting up. So my head was down And I woke up probably sometime, maybe this had to be around 11:30, 12 o'clock. I must have fallen asleep because about 1 or 2 o'clock, I finally raised my head and, oh, my neck was so sore. And it's like, I don't even know where I stopped. But I was praying and I fell asleep. That's a good way to fall asleep, by the way, praying to the God, praying to God. And so we want to make it a public, a group activity, and then make it personal. All right, so now moving on to our lesson for tonight. Desperate for God. This is part 3 in a series. This is a little story that came out of the book of Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. I don't know if you know what a scribe is, but you copy the law. You write down the scriptures. You keep copying and you make more copies of it so that you can keep passing it down through history. So Ezra was one of those scribes, but he was also influential with the kings. And it's amazing that if you go read the book of Ezra, it actually spans, it's a small book, but it spans quite a few years. It talks about the Persian kings. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, but you have Cyrus, King Cyrus, you have King Darius, and if I pronounce them correctly, you have Xerxes, and then you have Artaxerxes. So there's 4 kings in the mix there during Ezra's time. And so they're trying to get the temple rebuilt. This is a time right before Nehemiah. This is a time to when people were given permission to go back to Jerusalem. They were being released from captivity, and they were given the chance to go back to Jerusalem. Some went there, and they laid the foundation, and that's pretty much where they stopped. And then they went back at a different time, and they started building up the walls. Okay, so here now Ezra is coming into the mix here, and he's going to take a huge, huge crowd back to Jerusalem. And we're just going to read a few verses, but I want you to catch this point in the story. And I think God speaks to us through this point. So let's start with Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. So to finish up with the backstory with Ezra, he had all these people. And the king was given back all of the utensils that were taken out of the temple. It was worth a lot of money, folks. A lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of copper. And back during those days, they were precious metals. And he was taking all these metals and things back. So you could essentially think that he was a very wealthy man in his whole congregation. I think it was somewhere upwards around 40,000 people. And he wanted to make sure he got there. Don't we all want to do that? We pray for traveling grace, you know, pray that the Lord will help us get to where we're going and safely come back. Well, he had all of this treasure, all of these people, not warriors, people just returning back to Jerusalem, their homeland. And he had all these people. And he wanted to make sure they got there. So very first verse I want to read, he says, and this is Ezra talking, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava." And notice that we, plural, that's the group. That's what I've been talking about, praying as a group, fasting as a group. "That we might afflict," or you could say humble, "ourselves before our God." Why? "To seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance." In other words, he wanted to make sure, like I said, this wasn't a band of warriors that he had with him. He had little ones, he had families, and he had a lot of stuff. A lot of precious stuff. And people were evil. Armies could come by and raid them. And he wanted to pray and fast. Notice this. So he proclaimed a fast there that they would humble themselves and seek the Lord. So one thing, he was focused in his prayer. That's why we're going to focus in our prayers. It's okay to pray for needs. Needs is part of it. Jesus himself said, give us this day our daily bread. But notice he said us, give us. Notice how he used the plural in a lot of those. It's okay to pray for needs, but that's only a small part of your prayer life. It should never just stay on needs. You should pray for the bigger picture, for God's will to be done in his house. So anyway, he's praying one request that they get there and get there intact with his, it said there, for the right way for us and for our little ones and for our substance. And that means all the stuff he had. And so in order to have effective prayer, we should always be focused. You probably know what it's, most of you in here might be or had been hunters before. You know what a shotgun is, right? You shoot a shotgun and you have all these pellets just land anywhere and everywhere, okay? It might be a pattern that's 2 or 3 feet wide, depending on the distance. But now the difference between a shotgun approach of praying, that's praying for this, that, and everything else. And the difference between that and a rifle has one bullet, okay? You pray for that target, for that moment. And then that's what they did. And that's the point I want you to catch when you read this in the book of Ezra. Now, here we go. This is where I think it gets interesting. Verse 22. This is Ezra again. He said, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Now, what you have to understand, the king was so willing to give Ezra pretty much anything and everything he asked for. And that's what's so great about this. But the thing was, he bragged on God so much that he said, I was ashamed to require of the king soldiers to protect them. He said he'd rather let God protect them. And that's what he did. He said, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So he bragged on God. And that's good. But don't you see, in the back of his mind, he had a little doubt. He had to stop and think. You know, he said, I was ashamed. He might have thought about asking the king for a band of soldiers, but he had already talked about how God is strong and how God can protect. But you know, sometimes we do that too, and then we forget about him. If our child gets sick, I think our first thing to do, if we can, is to, you know, unless their legs twisted in a L shape or something like that, pray. Pray. God may just heal them right then and right there. And then go to the doctor. Take them to the doctor. But pray, or pray on the way. You know what I'm saying? Don't leave God out of the mix. Brag on God. Do what God wants you to do. And so here, Ezra said, I was ashamed. And so he proclaimed a fast. He focused his prayer on just getting there and getting there safely with his families, with the little ones, and with all the stuff they had, all the wealth and everything they had. And then it reminded me of that story. I asked myself, well, who else did I hear about who had faith but had a little doubt? And I found this story in Mark chapter 9, verse 21. Jesus had been on the mountain of transfiguration, is what we call it. Mountain of transfiguration. That was when he took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured into this glorious light, and they saw it, and I think Moses and Elijah were talking to him, and then all of a sudden they come back down on the from the mountain, and he sees a commotion going on. And what this commotion is that a father, and he has a child. We don't know how small he was, but he was a small child. And the disciples, I don't know what they were doing, but Jesus basically was wanting to know what's going on here. And so he asked the Father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Because the Father had told Jesus that he was possessed, that the child was possessed. And so the Father, he replies, and he said, since of a child. So that's how long he was. Since he was a child, he's been possessed. And the Father continues, he says, and oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Isn't that what the devil wants to do? He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's his way he operates. So that's what he's trying to do to this kid. And so he oftentimes casts him into the fire and into the waters, and he's trying to destroy him. But here we go. But if thou canst do anything, Lord, if you can do this, have compassion on us and help us. Now that got Jesus' attention. If you can do anything. Think about that question. He's asking that about Jesus. Jesus replies, he said, and Jesus said unto him, if you canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And you got to love this answer, because this is us. If we're honest, this is us. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, oh, I'm sure he was bawling like a baby, because he needed help. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. See, sometimes we believe things, but we don't always follow through. And we have this little bit of doubt that creeps in, that Satan wants to, you know, just like he did Eve, surely thou shalt not die. Well, surely God's not going to help you in this situation. You haven't been as good as you think you have. Devil will talk to you like that, won't he? Yeah, he'll tell you, all you have to do is rebuke him, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm a child of the King. And so Jesus cast out the demon. And by the way, I didn't include it on here, but in one part, in one of the Gospels, it said that this kind, so there must be different kinds of demons, different kinds of problems, different kinds of demonic activity going on within the nation, within the schools, within all the different places. He said, this kind only come out by prayer and fasting. Fasting. So that could be important sometimes. So back to Ezra. So Ezra called a fast. He called a fast because he bragged on God and he was ashamed to ask for soldiers to protect him. And so here he says in Ezra 8, verse 23, so we fasted, and you could say we sought, and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Now, we don't speak that way, but basically you could say he answered our prayer. He answered our prayer. See, he knew that if he could take his group of people, like I said, I think it was somewhere upwards around 40,000. I don't know exactly the number, but he called a fast. He focused on one thing, one topic, just to get there safely. With all their stuff, and to get there, you know, nothing, no enemy taken away, any of that. So he focused his prayer. He led the congregation into a fast, and they fasted and they besought our God, and he said he answered our prayer. That's the formula, folks. That's the formula, if you want to call it that. God wants you to seek him. Why? Because he is worthy to be sought. God is worthy. And so I want to finish up with this part. So Ezra and his people sought God as a group, as a congregation. And Ezra and his people were desperate. They were desperate for God to answer. And he did. And he did. So my question to you is, what are you desperate for? What are you desperate for? What do you want to see happen here or locally? What do you want to see? Well, first of all, we're going to go by the Bible. We're going to look and see what God wants. See, you always want to align your priorities with what God's priorities are. Go read the first six chapters of Acts, and you'll see what God's priorities are. That is to save the lost. And I want to give you a few more things. And this is where we're going to wrap up tonight. I got this out of Luke chapter 4, verse 18. When Jesus stood up to read in the synagogue, he read this portion of scripture out of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted," so to preach and to heal, "and to preach deliverance," oh my, how we need deliverance, "from habits, from addictions, from all kinds of things, deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind." And he didn't stop there. He healed people of leprosy. He healed people of all manners of diseases. But that was one of them, recovering of sight to the blind. "And to set at liberty," in other words, set them free, "for them that are bruised." This is Jesus talking. That's why he came. "And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And so he came to do these things. So Jesus came to seek and to save the lost by preaching the gospel. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Folks, you can get a broken heart by all kinds of reasons. Marriages, friendships, different relationships fall apart for all kinds of reasons. He came to preach deliverance. You can be made free. And Jesus came to heal the blind, the lame, those possessed with demons, all kinds of manners of diseases that they had. And so when you start talking about prayer meetings, and you might be wondering, well, what's all this got to do about prayer meetings? One, Ezra focused his prayer. He included the entire congregation, and the prayer was answered. God moved. So when we start having prayer meetings, it's kind of like saying this. You might be wondering, what is more important, private prayer life or public prayer life? You know, as a group, as a congregation here, which one's more important? Well, the answer is yes. They're both important. It's like having two legs, okay? One leg is your corporate prayer life. The other leg is your private prayer life. So if you cut one off, you're not going to be able to walk very good, are you? So the thing is, you should have both. You should have a public prayer gathering. They did it in the time of Esther when she needed to go see the king. They did it in the time of Ezra. They did it in the time of Moses. They did it in the book of Acts. Jesus himself did it with his disciples. I mean, you can find example after example of public and group praying. When they were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, how many were together? There was 120 all together praying, which is an interesting number because there were 500 who saw Jesus ascended into heaven. I don't know what happened to the rest of them. What was that, 380? 380 people seem to have sort of just dispersed. So they had 120 obeying what Jesus had said. So they were in the upper room praying for the Holy Spirit to be delivered. So here's the thing. You don't want to amputate that public or that corporate prayer leg. You need to have both legs. So you learn to pray publicly, and then you learn to pray privately. Or you do both. You mix them both. But we're going to pray with focus. And I've already mentioned this, that prayer is not always easy because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the only enduring motive for prayer, the only reason we pray, is because God is worthy to be sought. I hope you take that to heart. God is worthy to be sought. Yes, He will answer for needs. He will answer other prayers. But He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and then all these things, things that you need, will be given to you. He's interested in you seeking Him. If you would, please stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the story of Ezra. I thank You, Lord, that he realized that he needed to pray for a specific purpose. And Lord, and when he did, he proclaimed a fast. He was very serious about this particular prayer. And when he did, Lord, You answered in a very powerful and wonderful way by protecting them. And him bragging on You actually was a true thing. You are strong to those who seek You. And so, Lord, as we approach that day when we have the prayer meeting, Lord, I pray that You'll show Yourself strong. And Lord, I pray for all of the folks that are here, represented here. I pray, Lord, that You will send us people who have needs to be prayed for. Lord, that we can pray as a group. And Lord, that we can take all of what we learn and take it home with us and improve our private prayer lives. Lord, just bless this meeting. Bless this sermon. Lord, to the glory of Jesus Christ. But we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and lift Him up. May the name of the Lord be magnified. In His name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.